The issues that matter most, right here. The Drew Mariani Show
on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, no, so it's a variety of symptoms. There's a list of 12 symptoms that somebody could certainly have with coronavirus. I think what we're seeing is not necessarily a change in the virus, although we are having variants that have mutated. It's not changing the symptoms. And so what we're seeing is we're actually seeing a really good job of our vaccination rates, and especially in the UK.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, hey, coming up in just a few minutes, I want to bring you up to speed on the latest with COVID. I don't know whether you've been vaccinated or not. A lot of people have gotten their vaccinations. There's a new vaccine out. It's called Novavax. It may be coming your way soon. I want to bring you up to speed on this one and give you everything you need to know, plus lots of new COVID maladies being reported, and it seems that COVID symptoms are changing. So I'll give you the latest on that coming up in just a few moments. Dr. Robert Tobolli will be stopping by. But first, let me just welcome you. It's great to be back. My thanks to Sheila Lagminas for sitting in for me yesterday while I was away. I actually had to go to our network headquarters, and I got to hang out with my colleague Patrick Madrid and his wife and a lot of the other great hosts there. And spent some time with them, so I was away from the mic because I was traveling, and Patrick and I, we stayed up late last night. His wife Nancy, my wife Kathy, and I, we sat around drinking red wine and eating pizza till about 12:30 in the morning, quarter one, and it was fun. It was actually good to actually one of the board members, I met with lots of different board members that were there last night too, but we also hung out with Pam Schwartzberg and her husband Mark. Great people. We had fun. But we talked about you a lot. We said we talked about how much we enjoy spending our afternoons just giving you a look at life and what Relevant is doing. It's pretty amazing when you are able to see the fruit that this apostolate is bearing. And one of the beauties of what we do, and we're going to get into it right now, is give you a look at life you're not going to find anywhere else. I get frustrated by what's unfolding in the culture, right? I do, and I wonder where it's going to end and where ultimately it's going to lead. But we're here to give you a perspective on that. And more importantly, really call you to action and to prayer. And I've been praying for our elected officials. It's a simple prayer, but I incorporate them now into my daily prayer. And I ask the Lord to touch people like House Speaker Nancy Pelosi. I don't know if you heard the latest with her. She held a news conference yesterday, and a reporter who has not been identified yet, he asked a question. Now, listen to this question. Listen to this. I think it was a woman who did this. I'm not quite sure. I didn't hear the press conference. I just heard about it. This reporter asked, if an unborn baby at 15 weeks is a human being. Now, how do you answer that? Let me ask you personally. Is an unborn baby in the womb at 15 weeks, right? That's almost 4 months, right, of gestation, right? Is an unborn baby at 15 weeks a human being? Here was Nancy Pelosi's response.
Is an unborn baby at 15 weeks a human being?
Let me just say that I'm a big supporter of Roe v. Wade. I am a mother of 5 children in 6 years. I think I have some standing on this issue as to respecting a woman's right to choose.
Is it a human being?
Yes. Yeah, but, yes, ma'am.
I can't even speak. I get so frustrated. See, this is what I'm talking about. A very simple question. I would make a terrible politician. Somebody once said to me, my chief programming officer here at the network, a guy named Mike Kendall, says, oh, when you're done with radio, you should run for office. You would be great at it. I would. You know why I would be miserable at it? Why I'd be horrible at it? Would I love to do it? Yeah, I think it would be great to affect change. But you know why I would fail? Because I'm not like Nancy Pelosi. I cannot evade a question. Somebody says, is an unborn baby of 15 weeks a human being? That's a yes or no question, isn't it? It's either yes, it is, or no, it's not. Did you notice Nancy Pelosi's response? Jake, play it one more time, would you? Listen to this. She doesn't even answer the question. I'm a big supporter of Roe v. Wade. Listen to this.
Is an unborn baby at 15 weeks a human being?
Let me just say that I'm a big supporter of Roe v. Wade. I am a mother of 5 children in 6 years. I think I have some standing on this issue as to respecting a woman's right to choose.
Is it a human being?
Yes. Yes, ma'am.
Oh, so frustrating.
I think she knows the real answer, Drew. She's just afraid to say it. She knows.
She knows. I mean, anybody that has a child knows that it's a human being. Mm-hmm. This is part of the great darkening of the mind. I mean, how you can throw reality out And say, no, it's not a human being. You know what it is? It's evil. It's just plain and simple. And I'm going to call it as it is. It is evil. It's a four-letter word. It's evil. That's what it is. You know, the second part of her answer, Nancy goes on to say, you know, I'm a mother of five children in 6 years. It makes me wonder. My wife and I have five kids in 6 years, too. So we know what it's like, Nancy. Believe me. It's a handful, isn't it? With something else. You know that those are children in your womb. How do you throw that out? You have five beautiful children, and now you're saying, I'm a strong supporter of Roe v. Wade. I'll let you know where this so-called Catholic Speaker of the House stands on abortion. You know, so often we're talking about Joe Biden as Catholicism. I really hope these politicians are called to account for how they really defame our Catholic faith. You know, it's sacrilegious, if you ask me, the way they behave, the policies they enact, the positions they take, the things that they say, and yet they profess to be Catholic. So as angry and upset as I get at this insanity, I also pray all the more. And maybe today, let me just ask you to do one small thing. Sacrifice amplifies prayer. I really do believe that. How about sacrificing something tonight instead of having the second glass of wine or that cold beer or having the dessert or whatever it might be, that pack of cigarettes that you want? How about offering it up? And let's all do this, and we'll pray for the conversion of so many of these people that have been given a platform by God to effect change and are using it for really evil and nefarious purposes. Speaking of life, though, in sharp contrast to Nancy Pelosi, Governor Greg Abbott of Texas has signed a bill that would go into effect only if Roe v. Wade is somehow or other eliminated, right? And that will happen one day. I'm telling you right now, it will. It's called a trigger law, okay? And remember that term, trigger law, because when Roe is overturned, this law will instantly outlaw abortions in the Lone Star State. Let me say, Governor Abbott, bravo. I mean, you have my prayers and my praise. Good job, Texas. You know, be leaders in this. It will go into effect, 30 days after the necessary conditions are met, and it will punish Texas doctors who perform abortions under the new law. And believe me, some people don't like this, but these physicians who terminate, who kill, you know, who destroy a life in the womb, they could face life in prison or be fined up to $100,000. And it comes not long after another law was passed that prohibits abortions in the state after 6 weeks. So at the time that Governor Abbott, let me share with you what he said. I was reading a little bit earlier. He says this. He says, look, and I love this. Again, bravo, Governor. He says, our Creator endowed us with a right to life. And yet millions of children lose their right to life every year because of abortion. In Texas, we work to save those lives. I hope he gets reelected. I do. Our Creator endowed us with a right to life. Our founding fathers knew that, right? The framers of our Constitution know that we have an inalienable right to life, to liberty, to the pursuit of happiness. And Governor Abbott says, yet millions of those children, they lose that right every year. Why? Because they're vulnerable. They're defenseless in the womb. And yet Texas is on the front line. I'm so proud of that. I don't know if you remember the Georgia Heartbeat Bill that was signed by Governor Kemp a few years ago. Hollywood had a freak out. And they threatened to leave the state. Jake, do you remember that?
Oh, yes, I do, Drew. I was so proud of Governor Brian Kemp for signing that bill. And just to see the way that he was so berated by Hollywood, they acted like he was just some like mass murderer. You know, you could find the irony in that. But yeah, Hollywood, all of the major media companies, Drew, I remember Disney, NBC, Universal, all of them threatened to leave Georgia to leave the state and to stop filming there. CBS actually, Drew, I found this report a few years ago, if it's okay if we play it. CBS talked to someone who explained how important Georgia has been when it comes to the film industry.
If you could start off by giving us some background, when did Georgia become a hotbed for film and television productions?
Well, the state's film tax credit actually dates back more than a decade to the mid-2000s, but since then it's been expanded and it's become the most generous film tax credit in the nation. It's worth about $9 billion of direct investment in Georgia now, and creates about 90,000, supports about 90,000 1,000 jobs in the state. So it's a big part of Georgia's industry and a very important part of the legacy of several Republican governors, starting with Governor Sonny Perdue back in the mid-2000s. I'd say they're concerned. Doing his campaign for governor, he stressed that he would exempt the tax break from any sort of review, from any sort of attempt to gut it, because he said it's already proven itself. But since he signed the heartbeat bill into law, the controversy has grown. There's been a string of celebrities and producers, directors, actors, actresses who have all said that they will no longer work in Georgia if it takes effect. He said that Georgia won't bow to what Hollywood wants it to do. On the other hand, he's also said that that he still thinks Georgia is a welcoming place for the Hollywood, for the film industry.
Yeah, so Governor Kemp saying he's not going to be bullied by Hollywood, Drew. I love the fact that he took that stance,
yep.
And he's not afraid to back down. You know, there's a lot of people who cower to the left, unfortunately.
Yeah, we need politicians who are willing to do what's right, regardless of their future, regardless of what it means, from the NBA or Hollywood or anybody else that's trying to flex their particular muscles as well. In fact, let me jump to the phones very quickly. Let's get Bill in New Jersey into the conversation. You could join me, by the way, anytime. 888-914-9149. It's always good to talk with you. Hey, Bill, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Great topic. Hope you're doing well. I just wanted to make a quick comment. I remember when Barack Obama ran for president, that he was asked in an interview, when does human life begin? And he said, that's above my pay grade.
Yeah.
Above my pay grade. And now I switch to what Nancy said yesterday. I caught it on the news. Here's my point. You run for office to lead and guide and direct people.
That's right.
If you don't know when human life begins, then I not only would hire you to be my politician or to be my governor, or my president, my mayor, whatever,
right.
I won't hire you to cut my grass. Because you don't know when a human life, this speaks volumes, think about it. You don't know when human life begins, and you want to lead human beings. What if I applied for dog catcher in my town, and they hired me, and I was bringing back squirrels and raccoons, and they'd say, you're a dog catcher. Oh, well, you don't know what a dog is? Okay, yeah. So you can laugh, but really boil it down. You don't know when a human life begins, then I might not be a human life being to you or someone of a certain. So you got to know when human life begins, or you are not eligible to lead human beings. I would not, and I mean it, I would not
Bill,
have to cut my grass. So,
Bill, and I agree with you. First of all, thanks for the call, because I think you bring up a great point here. But here's the reality here. And you're right. If this person truly doesn't know when life begins, they should not hold office, clearly. I believe they know when life begins. I think that's the reality here. They just refuse to acknowledge it. You know, they worship at the altar of abortion. And that's what happens here. It's a high and holy sacrament for many of these people. They continue to advance it. And that's really the problem. I don't think anybody today could tell me they don't know when life begins, you know, especially when you're talking a 15-year-old, a 15-week-old child in the womb. And that person asked Nancy Pelosi, who had five kids, that direct question. You're right. And President Obama, a brilliant man. It was extremely intelligent. You're telling me it's above your pay grade? Come on. Those are cop-outs. Those are excuses. It's horrible. Abby Johnson knew even at Planned Parenthood it was a human life. She worked there. She was a director, right? She just lied. And that's what we're seeing here as well. This is a great, great lie. Bob Iger of Disney, he told Reuters at some time that he considered getting out of filming in Georgia if that pro-life bill had passed. And Jake, back to that point there, too, I think Bill brings up a good point. You got Disney, you've got the NBA, you've got baseball, you've got all these different people flexing muscles saying, hey, we're going to, if it comes down to voting issues, if it comes down to life, if it comes down to whatever the issue might be, you know, we're going to pull out of your state. These people know when life begins. They do. And Disney, of all people, here's the problem I have with Disney, right? Disney's marketplace, their bottom line is based on, you know, a new generation of kids, right?
Yeah.
And yet they're proponents of this culture of death. It's irrational. It does not make sense. And yet, you know, we see these people so blindly advocating for this. I know you and I were talking a little bit about Iger before the show.
It's just like, I'm just wondering, are these people even thinking about what they're saying? Because as you bring up, Drew, Bob Iger used to run Disney. And if their future customers are children, yeah, why wouldn't they want more children? But just looking back to this audio here that I'm going to play for you, as Bob Iger is saying this, he's literally standing at Disney World. He's like in front of one of the, I think like the Splash Mountain ride as kids are going down this. Wow. And he's complaining about the fact that there's going to be a pro-life law in Georgia. I'm like, how ironic can this get?
Well, I think if it becomes law, it'll be very difficult to produce, or I rather doubt we will. I think many people who work for us will not want to work there, and we'll have to heed their wishes in that regard. Right now, we're watching it very carefully. I guess there's some speculation it could be enacted sometime after the first of the year. I think it's also likely to be challenged in the courts, and that could delay it. And we're being careful and cautious about it. But if it becomes law, I don't see how it's practical for us to continue to shoot there.
All right, so much to talk about. I'll bring you back to that final point. Let's continue to pray for the conversion of the CEOs of these politicians. And look, if you feel the call to run for office, do it. We need well-formed people in office. I do want to change gears a little bit. Nathaniel Blake is going to be stopping by in a second. I want to talk to him. Over the last 7 years, corporate America has been using its clout. And we talked about Disney. We talked about some of these other places to shape legislation, to influence, policy. And they've been doing this at the state level in very public ways. I don't know if you remember back in 2014, the Arizona State Legislature, they passed a bill that would protect the rights of religiously minded business owners, people like Jack Phillips, right? Remember him? He was the guy who was the cake maker. He didn't want to have to violate his conscience and make a cake for a so-called same-sex marriage, a gay marriage. The Super Bowl was supposed to be played in Phoenix in 2015, and the NFL, they threatened to move the game elsewhere. And then Governor Jan Brewer caved, vetoed the bill. And since then, look, we're seeing similar things happening in Indiana and North Carolina, Georgia, as we just talked about, where, you know, Major League Baseball moved its all-star game from Atlanta to Colorado because of the voting laws that the state passed. And actually, and I keep telling you this, we've talked about this a lot, that there's a lawsuit against the MLB for violating the contracts of many small business owners who stood collectively. They estimate these guys could have made about $100 million on that event. So a tremendous loss for the state and for their small business there. But that's not far enough, right? That's not far enough for some people to go. Former New York Times Supreme Court reporter Linda Greenhouse, she wrote a column encouraging what she called executive class to turn their attention to states that are legally restricting abortion and states presumably like Texas, right? So Greenhouse, she writes that an article published by the pro-abortion Guttmacher Institute, she said that she says pointed out that 4 days between April 26th and April 29th, 28 new abortion restrictions were signed into law in 7 states. As of mid-May, bills proposing 549 separate abortion restrictions have been introduced in 47 states, including 125 that would ban abortions. That, she said, is problematic, and it should be addressed in, you know, by big business. They want big business involved. I'm joined right now by Nathaniel Blake. He's a postdoctoral fellow at the Ethics and Public Policy Center. You can find them online at eppc.org. He's here to give us a perspective. Hey, Nathaniel, thanks for joining me today. Thanks for your patience. It's good to talk to you.
Thank you for having me.
So just how far is Ms. Greenhouse suggesting that businesses go? If 47 states have introduced bills that restrict abortion, that would only leave 3 states for big business to work from, right? And I doubt that New York and California are very attractive places to do business right now. What do you make of her position and things she's saying?
I think her goal is to do what to encourage businesses to do what we've seen them doing with religious liberty laws, with in Georgia voting laws, so that no single state wants to be the first to go. So to show how extreme she is, and again, she's a very prominent liberal legal voice, she's arguing that Mississippi's law restricting abortion at 15 weeks is radical, and that state businesses should go after states like Mississippi. And I think, the goal is no state wants to be the first to go. You're right. If everybody passes laws like this, well, businesses right. have no choice but to do business somewhere.
Right, exactly.
But so, if you can pick off one state at a time, as we've been seeing in many of these cases, governors and legislatures will often cave.
Yeah, I always thought that the left had serious problems with big business. What's changing? I mean, what's changed now?
I think that what we've seen is a shift from a focus on class to a shift to race, gender, sexual orientation, culture war issues. And they've actually found that a lot of people on the big business has found that a lot of people on the left will leave them alone to a large extent and even praise them if they get on board with these left-wing culture war issues.
Yep.
So it's much more, right? Look at, say, The Nation or The New Republic or some of these other left-wing publications.
Right.
They are no longer about the union hall. They're about transgenderism or abortion or polyamory or whatever the latest edge of the culture war is.
So can these businesses be taken to court for obstructing the work of other people? I was struck by what happened in Georgia. I mean, it's a lot of money to lose. Do they have any legal recourse?
I think it depends on the circumstances. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not going to say. Some of the details there are beyond my pay grade. You know, not in Obama's words, where it was a cop-out. But they actually are above my pay grade. I'm not a lawyer.
I guess so. Bottom line here, then, how do Americans push back on this? What do we do to stop this concerning trend, if you will, this rising tide?
Well, I think one thing that has been encouraging is the effort to found sort of a NRA type organization for American families that will lobby for us, not affiliated with it, but people that I know and trust are praising this effort. Ryan Anderson was promoting it lately, American Principles Project, I believe it's called. But so try to unite to fight for families. I also think that being willing to use some government power if there is a threat of oligarchy is something that conservatives should be willing to do, particularly when it's a business like Amazon that has a market control, right? What is it? Over 50% of all book sales go through Amazon. When Amazon starts banning books, like they did with Brian Anderson, who I just mentioned, then that's not the free market at work. That's something close to a monopoly squelching dissent.
Yes, it is. That's so true. Well, Nathaniel, I appreciate what you do there at EPPC.org, the Ethics and Public Policy Center. I know people could read more there. And I'm grateful for your time today. I'm up against the clock, so I got to hold it right there. But have a great weekend, okay? And thanks for being with me.
You too. Thanks for having me.
You got it. That's Nathaniel Blake. I got to take a short pause. Stay with me when we come back. Changing COVID symptoms and a brand new vaccine. I'll bring you up to speed. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
All right, some positive news in the nation's vaccination effort after another manufacturer announces its promising results from its clinical trials. Novavax released data today on its Prevent 19 shot. It's said to have an overall efficacy rate of more than 90%. And trials found the two-dose vaccine is 93% effective against the predominant variant circulating right now.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
So that's some promising news from CBS. Dr. Tabali will be stopping by for a moment to comment, and we'll tap into his expertise and genius, and you're more than welcome to pull up a chair. There's a lot going on, right? Have you noticed how they changed these different variants? They're no longer, you know, the South African variant or the Indian variant. Now you've got, you know, the Delta variant. They're giving them these names. I don't have a problem with it. I find it telling. But what do we know about these variants? What do we know about what's now unfolding? Are COVID symptoms changing? What are some possible solutions out there? There's actually a new vaccination that's coming out. I'm really intrigued by it. And we'll get plugged into that with Dr. Dabali in just a second. But let me give you the number. If you're just joining me, it's 888-914-9149. Do yourself a favor. Type that into your phone real quick and save it, okay? Put it in the speed dial. 888-914-9149. Use it anytime. I always love talking with you, okay? So let's talk COVID-19. We've been doing this for, what, over a year now? It's been a while. It's been, I've often wondered when it will finally wane and disappear, but it seems there's always news, and there's something new to learn. Look, COVID-19 seems to be diminishing, yet it's still causing symptoms. Right now, health officials are concerned about a variant that comes from India. It's been named the Delta variant, and it seems to have already been located in more than 40 countries around the world, including here in our own countries. And they're not sure if the vaccines that have been given here, whether or not going to be up to the task of fending off the new variant. So if you've been vaccinated, you think, oh, I'm safe. Turn up the radio. All right. I don't know. I don't know. That's why Dr. Dabali will be with us in a second here. What is it about Delta? Does it target kids? Are your vaccinations enough? Do we need boosters? Will Pfizer and Moderna and everyone else be selling another round of these things? They probably will be. In the meantime, the pharmaceutical company Novavax, they've announced that its vaccine has been found to be 90% effective against lab-confirmed infection symptoms. That means that it's more likely to receive emergency use authorization from the FDA in the not-too-distant future. I hope it comes quick, because I know a lot of people are waiting for this one. CBS News, they talked to a doctor about this this vaccine and asked him if, you know, the vaccine market is becoming a little crowded. And I thought this was revealing. Listen.
You know, it's one extra one that we probably, in the United States, probably don't need at this particular time, because we have surplus of vaccine, and we have people that don't want the vaccine. So we have way more vaccine than we have people that want it in this country, which is kind of a shame. But it's great that we have this fourth option now. Now, you asked a question of what is different about this vaccine. Well, the Novavax vaccine, unlike Johnson & Johnson, which is sort of the traditional, it uses a cold virus to kind of infect our cells, to then get our cells to sort of develop the immunity. The Moderna and the Pfizer vaccines are mRNA vaccines, so they get our cells to sort of start producing proteins that our body reacts to. This particular vaccine, the Novavax, uses what's called the nanotechnology, which is a proprietary technology that they developed that they say allows them to sort of change the vaccine very quickly and develop vaccines very quickly. It's the first of its kind. It's a pretty interesting vaccine, and it's a pretty interesting science. I mean, this whole thing has been fascinating if you think about it from a scientific perspective. Within a year and a half, we now have, well, less than a year and a half, we now have, as you said, four vaccines available to treat a virus that was brand new in 2019, which is just completely unheard of and absolutely amazing.
That's the key word, amazing, isn't it? It really is incredible. I was away last week, and on this trip I took, this pilgrimage, there must have been 7 or 8 physicians on this trip, and I asked a lot of them about the vaccine and what they thought of it, and you know, many are very hopeful about this this new way of developing these vaccinations. A lot of the red tape has been cleared by the Trump administration. We see what has happened, but let's talk about Novavax. Dr. Dabali will be joining us, but there are some vaccines though that are causing problems for recipients, and. There's supposed to be an emergency meeting today at the Center for Disease Control and Prevention because of hundreds of reports of people, especially young men, getting, I believe it's called myocarditis. They're getting inflamed hearts after taking the vaccine. That usually comes from the Johnson & Johnson one. Some of the symptoms you might be experiencing when you had COVID, I found out one of my colleagues here had COVID and went to drink his coffee, couldn't smell it. So he went into his bathroom, opened something up, like Listerine or something that was strong smelling, couldn't smell it, and he realized he had it. There was a doctor who spoke to Channel 3 News in Hartford and said, hey, there are some new symptoms being reported regarding COVID. I think you'll find this revealing. Listen, I just learned about this.
Yeah, no, so it's a variety of symptoms. There's a list of 12 symptoms that somebody could certainly have with coronavirus. I think what we're seeing is not necessarily a change in the virus, although we are having variants that have mutated. It's not changing the symptoms. And so what we're seeing is we're actually seeing a really good job of our vaccination rates, and especially in the UK. And so what is happening is that the majority of the UK has been vaccinated. And the reason that they're seeing different symptoms over there is because the vaccine is doing exactly what it's supposed to do. It's supposed to take a potentially lethal disease that causes systemic fever, cough, respiratory failure, and turns it into a cold. And so that has always been the purpose of the vaccines. It's not necessarily to prevent disease, but take it potentially lethal disease and turn it into something less or more benign, like a common cold. And that's why you're seeing things like sore throat, things like that.
All right. So let's talk about it. New symptoms, new vaccines. What do you need to know? The number here, 888-914-9149. I'm joined by a good friend, a very gifted infectious disease doc from the Chicago area, and clinical assistant professor of medicine at the University of Illinois. You know him. He's been with us, kind of our guide over the past several months. Dr. Robert Tabali is back. Hey, doctor, good afternoon.
Hey, Drew. I appreciate the opportunity to be with you for the last 15 months talking about coronavirus, and it's been a long time. So,
and no shortage, has there? Every week, it seems that we talk about this. There's always some new development, something else to talk about. Let's start today with this Indian variant, this Delta variant. What do you know about it? What are the symptoms? How do they differ from other variants? Is this something that people who've been vaccinated should be concerned about?
Well, the Indian variant is spreading throughout the world. It's causing a significant outbreak in Russia right now, showing that the Russian vaccine doesn't have very good cross protection. And it's causing 6% of the new infections here in the United States, and doubling every week. Excuse me. It's about 60% more infectious than is.
My guest today, Dr. Robert Tabali. If you want to join us, 888-914-9149. Go ahead, Doc.
Yeah. So the Delta variant. People ask, if I got vaccinated, will I be protected against it? And there was a recent study, the Pfizer vaccine develops neutralizing antibodies against the Delta variant in 80% of the subjects tested. So we would think that the Moderna vaccine would be similar. And the Novavax vaccine, which I'm a strong proponent of, is the low 80% coverage. But the Novavax vaccine is a completely different vaccine than the messenger RNA and the Johnson & Johnson AstraZeneca. Yeah. Those vaccines basically inject something and you have your body make the spike protein and present it to your immune system. So it's kind of like baking a cake inside you. Yeah. They inject the ingredients and your body bakes the cake and presents it to the immune system. Well, the Novavax, you basically get injected with the cake elements. So there's no baking of the cake inside you. What's injected in you is the particle. I liken it to a tennis ball with a bunch of spike protein sticking out of it.
Wow.
And that's presented to the immune system. And the side effects of this vaccination are significantly less. Patients are asking me, should I get my 12 to 16-year-old vaccinated now with the messenger RNA vaccine, the Pfizer or the Moderna, since they're approved? They're very concerned about the myocarditis. In Chicago here, there was a young woman at Northwestern that died. She actually underwent a heart transplant. She died. It's tragic. My recommendation to my patients is that they may want to wait until the Novavax is available, because that would not seem to have the same augmented immunity issues that the messenger RNA vaccines are known to have.
Yeah. Well, Let me do this, doctor. We'll take a few calls. If you're on hold, I'm going to get you on the air. The number's 888-914-9149. We're taking a look at some of the changing COVID symptoms and some big news on the horizon. Novavax, another vaccine made differently than this messenger RNA vaccination. And, you know, we have seen some side effects from some of those vaccinations. We're talking about myocarditis. You've talked about some other there's been some question about fertility issues and others regarding some of the other vaccinations. What is Novavax, and is it right for you? We'll explore that more when I return. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forrester.
Get caught up on this conversation and all the others by going to the Relevant Radio archives. Just search for The Drew Mariani Show.
That's right. You hear something here and you said, man, I wish my spouse heard that, or I want to share it with somebody. We were just having a conversation about it. RelevantRadio.com. The Drew Mariani Show. You'll find me there under the shows, and you can download or restream or send the link to anybody who you want to hear this particular conversation or any of the conversations. A couple months worth of programming up there, some really good stuff. I think you'll enjoy it. So please share with others, you know, the podcast. I'm joined right now, if you're tuning in, by Dr. Robert Tabali, a very gifted infectious disease doctor. We're talking about the Novavax vaccine. It's probably going to get green-lighted by the FDA, and we'll soon have that vaccine out. I don't know if you've been waiting for something other than Pfizer or Moderna. We're here to answer some of the questions regarding this and take a look at some of the changing variants and so many of the questions you might have regarding COVID-19. And, Doctor, let's jump right into the phones. We'll take a couple calls from around the country. 888-914-9149. We'll go to Mary. She's listening in Southampton, Pennsylvania. Mary, you're on the air with Dr. Tabali. Good afternoon.
Okay, thank you. I just wanted to ask the doctor, I've been reading about the Novavax and hoping that it would come here because, from what I understand, it has no connection to aborted fetal cell lines used in the making of it or in the testing of it. Is that true?
Well, my understanding is clearly there's no connection with aborted fetal cell lines in the manufacture or the design of it. My understanding was that early on they did do some testing. But that's not at all associated with the manufacturer or the current ongoing product. So it's fairly similar to what occurred with the messenger RNA vaccines, the Pfizer and the Moderna. I'm just shy of having a master's degree in bioethics, so I think I can kind of logically comment on this. From my standpoint, I don't have any ethical consideration or concern about the Novavax vaccine. My major, if I was going to have concerns about a vaccine, I cannot recommend the Johnson & Johnson or the AstraZeneca vaccines to patients. I always advise them that they select one of the other vaccines because of the moral uncertainty, if possible, if they can get the other vaccine. But I don't have any question at all or a reluctance at all to recommend the Novavax vaccine. I think this is a vaccine that will be welcomed by many of the people who have not wanted to get the messenger RNA vaccines to date. So we have less than half of the U.S. population actually vaccinated. A significant amount of those people have natural immunity, but people like me who have to be vaccinated in order to keep our jobs, like in the hospital and so on. A lot of people would want to opt for this vaccine that has less side effects than the messenger RNA vaccines.
So just in terms of the morality behind this, the Pfizer, the Moderna, and the Novavax, you would put them in the same camp together in terms of their proximity or remoteness to the evil act? Just testing was done very early on, right?
Correct. And the testing was not as, if I can call it, as broad-based or as interactive as the messenger RNA vaccine. So of the vaccines that are available, this is the cleanest from an ethical and moral standpoint.
And it also has, we don't know about side effects yet, though, do we?
Well, you know, they did a trial in South Africa. They did a, you know, here in the U.S. and Mexico, where they just released the data. I didn't get a chance to look at it yet. But the data from Europe, from Britain and South Africa, the side effects on this vaccine were significantly less than the messenger RNA vaccine. So it appears to be much better tolerated from that standpoint.
And do you know if Novavax is a single shot or a two-shot vaccination?
It's a two-shot vaccination, and if anybody wanted to read a really good article about it, about 3 months ago, the Wall Street Journal had just an outstanding article on it, and if you wanted to Google Wall Street Journal and Novavax, it should pop up, but they have very nice little diagrams explained the technology behind it, and very informative.
Well, that's pretty cool. All right, we'll take a few more calls. Elizabeth is listening in Merrillville, Indiana. Elizabeth, good afternoon.
Hello, thank you for taking my call. Yes, doctor, I just found out I have been diagnosed with an autoimmune disease, rheumatoid arthritis, and I'm wondering, is the Novavax a better option for me to take?
Well, at this point, we do know that the messenger RNA vaccines tend to maybe increase the baseline of activity of autoimmune type diseases. It's not in everyone, but it occurs fairly commonly. The Novavax might be a better option. You know, hopefully it'll become available very soon. So I would say for my patients it would be a better option if they had lupus or other types of arthritis or other autoimmune diseases.
Right.
The Novavax would be a better option.
All right, if you're just tuning in, we're talking about Novavax. It seems that another vaccination is coming to the fore. This should be out. The pharmaceutical company Novavax announced that it has been found to be about 90% effective against lab-confirmed infections, you know, with symptoms. Dr. DiPaoli, I thought you said maybe it was 80, so I'm not quite sure the efficacy rate of that, but it's likely the FDA will give it the green light in the not-too-distant future. Is it that effective, and how far off do you think it is before people can access this?
It's over 95% effective against the wild strain, the initial strain. But what the 80% I was quoting was actually the Delta variant and the South African variant.
That's great.
So,
well, that's
good. It's a vaccine. It wasn't directed at these other two variants, but there's a significant amount of cross immunity that occurs. So, you know, it's like the whole package. It's, you know, it's going to be able to be stored at regular refrigerator temperatures for a long period of time, relatively low side effect profile, and highly effective.
All right. Joyce in Austin, Texas. Thanks for your patience. Good afternoon.
Hi. How are you guys doing?
Well,
I've got a
thanks.
Quick question. Well, I hope it's quick. About the spike protein, because that's what's being used in the vaccines. And I just read an article by professor of viral immunology who says the spike protein in the COVID vaccines is a very dangerous toxin, and he gave a whole list of things that it does. Is there a spike protein in this new Novavax?
Well, that's the immunological point of attack against the virus of the immune system. So if you got infected with coronavirus, you're going to have a lot of spike protein in your body, and your immune system is going to attack the spike protein, and that's how it's going to attack the virus and shut the virus down. So the target for the immunizations is the spike protein. So like I was saying, the messenger RNA vaccines, the Pfizer and Moderna, and then the Johnson & Johnson and the AstraZeneca, they all work by injecting something into your body that actually causes your own body to make a lot of spike protein. The messenger RNA vaccine does it through the messenger RNA. The AstraZeneca and the Johnson & Johnson does it by having a gene put into a little low-grade cold virus that causes your body to make the spike protein. The the Novavax vaccine is basically it's nanoparticles with, nano means small. It doesn't mean electronic.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at it, it looks like a tennis ball with a little nail sticking out, and the nails are the spike protein. And, I don't know about the validity of the arguments about the spike protein accumulating in certain areas of the body and causing problems. There was a recent article just came out in the last few days about vaccination. There was no effect on men's sperm counts. There was an allegation that this was concentrated in the testes and was changing sperm. That appears to be clearly not the case. And infection does not seem to affect fertility as well. This is a relatively new issue, this infection, and so we will look back in years to come and understand things better than we do in real time. But I've been a strong proponent of the vaccines and will continue to be so, even if someone needed to get a vaccine other than this one we're talking about today, a lot of people get sick. A lot of people die. You know, people that are admitted to a hospital or have hypoxia with us, a third of the people will have a blood clotting event, and a significant amount of people have neurologic problems as an outcome. It looks like there's only, you know, on paper that the death rate is a small percentage of people that get infected with it, and that's true, but there's a lot of people that have these long COVID symptoms, and, you know, nobody's talking about that, and so the blood clotting issues. I talked to my cousin just a couple hours ago, and she had a stroke from the COVID infection. So,
wow.
You know, it's a common thing. You know, these issues are common. And although she survives, and you know the crude mortality, you know, is pretty low. There's a lot of people that have issues, and you know we're seeing some of these high profile patients, people having suicides. Because they can't deal with the long COVID symptoms. Right. There's a medication that Merck is developing that the government's going to invest $2 billion in. And you may say, why are they investing this oral medication when COVID is all but put to bed now because, you know, all society's opening up? Well, there may be other variants that occur a year from now, or the medicine that they're developing here may not only have activity against COVID, but may have activity against other viral infections that may be similarly dangerous or even more dangerous. And so it's important to try to stock up on these therapeutics, once we're able to do so. So, you know, in all of this, I may talk like I know everything that I'm talking about is 100%, but that's not the case. I mean, we form our logical opinions, and there's a lot of us out here in this space talking about things, and you know we do it based on the information we have at hand, and a lot of it's conjecture, but I try not to get too far out ahead of my skis on things. But I don't think you need to worry about fertility and the vaccines. I don't think you need to worry about spike protein. Some of the issues we may be seeing with adverse reactions from the vaccine may be in the augmented immunity realm, where people are having what might be long, ongoing, low-level infections with the coronavirus. We stimulate their immune system to combat it. The immune system fights the infection where it is, and that might be part of the side effect profile we're seeing, meaning that once the immune system actually starts fighting the infection efficiently, that's causing some of the side effects. Now, that may be the case in the myocarditis issue. It may not be, but that's a question nobody has the answer to right now. But maybe, you know, months or a year from now, we'll know a lot more about these things.
My guest today, Dr. Robert Topalla, we're taking a look at the Novavax vaccination. How far off do you think it's going to be before people can begin to get get vaccinated with it?
Well, the company told their investors 2 weeks ago they were going to drop their data real soon at the FDA. They announced to the Securities and Exchange Commission they were going to drop off their data in the third quarter, which begins July 1st. I would anticipate that it wouldn't take more than 2 to 3 weeks for an accurate review of the data. And then I would hope that it would be approved and distributed here in the United States, but there's some conjecture that since we're awash in vaccines already,
right,
that they may not allow it to be distributed in the United States. They may donate it to other countries around the world. The Novavax has certain advantages which would make it acceptable to a lot of the people that have not wanted to be vaccinated in the U.S., thus far, and I certainly hope that they do allow it to be used here in the U.S. So,
yeah. All right, well, let's sneak another call in here if we can. Mary's listening in Hawthorne, New Jersey. Hi, Mary.
Hello. Thank you so much for covering Novavax. It's hard to get information on it. I was wondering if the doctors thought on, since the mRNA is such a new technology, and this is maybe a little, Novavax is a little less revolutionary, that it's safer maybe in the long term. We don't know what the long-term side effects will be of the mRNAs.
That's an accurate statement. I don't know that we're going to find that there's any significant long-term issues with the messenger RNA vaccines. They have been used in oncology for quite a long time, so there's a lot of information about them in oncology. Yeah, see, if somebody has if they go to a real high-end cancer place like National Institutes of Health, they may take part of your cancer, find unique genes in there, create a messenger RNA vaccine, give you what they call, you know, targeted immunotherapy, a vaccine against your own cancer, right, and the cancer gets wiped away. That's one of the things in malignant melanoma. So we do have a lot of data. It's not in the millions of people receiving the vaccine, but they've been using this technology for quite a few years.
All right, well, Mary, I got to leave it right there. Doctor, the same. Thank you for bringing us up to speed on what's happening with Novavax. We'll continue to follow the story, and I know you and I will talk about it more. Hey, prayers are on the way for your nephew, Doctor, and we'll be praying the chapel. We'll remember you in that prayer as well. So stay with us. I'll be back with more. We'll pray the chaplet right after this.